All right, Matthew chapter 5, I titled the lesson this morning, You Are the Light of the World. Our master here has been teaching us that believers must be useful in the world. And the two examples that he gives us are everyday things we can all understand, salt and light. Last week we looked at salt, this morning we'll look at light. And he says in verse 14, You are the light of the world. Now, naturally speaking, light is very useful, isn't it? Light is so useful, there'd be no life without it. It's impossible for there to be life on this earth without sunlight. Nothing could grow. Light lets us see where we're going, so we don't hurt ourselves. We see all the obstacles and know the way to go to get where we want to go. Light lets us see ourselves as we are. It lets us know when it's time to wash our face and comb our hair. Sunlight is a natural disinfectant. Light is so useful. Now, the Savior says here, you are the light of the world. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, don't we? He said, I am the light of the world. Without Christ, there can be no life. Look at John chapter 8. Christ is the light and the life of the world. John 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ is both the light and the life of the world. Now look at John chapter 9. Only in the light of Christ can we see where we should go. The only way we can see that we should go to Christ is in His light. John 9, verse 5, our Lord says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then to show what he's talking about, he gives this blind man sight, verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. The only way we can see is in the light of Christ. And now that this man could see, now that he had light, he knew where he should go. He knew he should be a follower, a disciple of Christ. You know this story, how upset the Pharisees were by this. Look at verse 25. They kept questioning this man. And he answered and said, they called the Lord a sinner. And he said, well, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, he said, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? This man knew he was going to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, because he had light. He knew where to walk. Verse 35. They excommunicated him, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. The Lord, this thing about light is believing. It's seeing Christ. He had light to see who Christ is and believe him, and he worshiped him. Not like the Pharisees did through the law and the ceremonies. He worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. He had light to see. Now look back at John chapter 3. Only in the light of Christ can we see what we really look like. It takes the light of Christ to show us we're completely sinful, completely ugly and defiled in our sin. John 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals true righteousness. Only in his light can we see he is true righteousness. And in his light, in the light of who he is, we see how unrighteous we are. The light of Christ reveals true beauty, the beauty of holiness. And only in his light can we see our ugliness. Now that makes the self-righteous stay away from Christ, doesn't it? Now, they don't want to come to that light and be exposed, have all their sin exposed. But that light makes sinners who believe Christ. And this one that says that doeth truth, the one that doeth truth is the one who believes Christ. Well, that makes that person run to Christ the light because they want it to be seen. My deeds are his deeds. They want it to be seen. He is all my righteousness. I am righteous in him. That's what Christ the light reveals. Now look back at Genesis chapter 1. Christ, this spiritual light, is so important and so useful that he is the first thing Almighty God revealed in creation. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, and that word was is became. God didn't create something that was without form and void. The earth became without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now between verses 1 and 2 must have been when Satan fell from heaven to earth. And when he fell, sin entered the earth. Darkness entered the earth. It became the opposite of light. It became dark and void, without any form, without any good. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now when God said, "Let there be light," that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Let Christ appear." It's not the sun and the moon. They weren't created to the fourth day. This light that appeared is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John tells us that the second creation is going to be a whole lot like this first day of creation. John said he saw heaven. He saw New Jerusalem. He said it didn't have any need of the sun or the moon, for the Lamb was the light of it. Christ is the light of it. And this part of the creation story is a picture of the new birth. All men are born in darkness, under the power of this darkness. And the power of darkness makes it so we can't see Christ. We just can't see him. We can't see his beauty. We can't see any need in him. We can't believe him because we're under the power of darkness. And the only way we can be delivered from that power of darkness is for Christ to appear. If he appears to us, all light or all darkness is going to be gone. Because it's impossible for darkness to be where light is. Darkness can never be where light is. And if Almighty God says, "Let there be light," let Christ appear in their heart, the darkness, the power of darkness is going to be gone. The darkness of ignorance and unbelief is going to be gone, and we're going to believe Christ. If God says, "Let there be light," darkness is gone. And Christ has appeared. We have light and life. Now, there's nothing more useful than Christ the light. There's nothing we need more than Christ the light. He is the light of the world. All light and life is in him. Well, all right then. How can our Lord in our text say, you who believe are the light of the world? If he's the light of the world, how can I be the light of the world? Well, believers are the light of the world by reflecting the light of Christ. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, God's people reflect the light of Christ. God's people are the light of the world. Illustration kind of falls down if you think about it too much, but if you take a candle and light that candle from the flame of the sun, you take that candle, it lights up the darkness everywhere you go. Now the fire On the end of that little bitty candle is the exact same fire of the sun, isn't it? It's not as big. It's not as bright. But it's the same fire, isn't it? Same light. And that light will light everything around you. That's how believers are it'll get rid of the darkness around you. That's how believers are the light of the world. And I want us to see three things. And I think these things are three very important things for God's people to see about being the light of the world. Number one is this. Believers are to be lights to the whole world around us. Now back in our text in Matthew 5, verse 14, the Lord says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, if you build a city on the top of a hill, you can't hide it. Everybody down there in the valley can look up there and see it. It's up there above everything. And especially at night when that city's lit up, you can't hide it. It just dominates the valley and everything for miles. You're going to be able to see the light of that city set up on a hill. You know, they used to build lighthouses. They built them as close to the shore as they could, and they built them as high as they could, so the light could be seen as far out in the ocean as possible. That's what the Lord's telling us to do here. If you believe Christ, Christ, the light of the world, is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're to let that light shine in the darkness, to dispel the darkness of ignorance and the darkness of unbelief by preaching the gospel and doing it publicly. So the whole world, as many people as the world as possible, can hear it. You're the light of the world by going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And that's what we do here. We preach the gospel publicly, right here in the public worship service, on the radio, on the internet, so that people who are in darkness can hear of Christ. Our Lord described John the Baptist, the greatest preacher ever lived, he said, the greatest prophet, as a burning and a shining light, preaching the gospel where God gave him the opportunity. We spread this light of the gospel by inviting people to come hear the gospel. We spread this light by telling people who Christ is, who the Savior is, whenever the opportunity presents itself. Now, you know, you don't have to be obnoxious about this, but if the opportunity presents itself, be ready to give an answer why you have a good hope in you. I was talking to my brother this week, and he told me a customer of his was talking to him. I don't know what happened to make this man ask this question, but he asked Jonathan, "Do you believe in Christ like I do?" And Jonathan says, "Well, that depends. If you believe Christ is all, if you believe that salvation is all Christ without anything added to it, if you believe that, then you and me believe the same. But if not, we don't." That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? If you believe Christ is all we do. But I tell you, the Lord makes it clear to us here, it's possible for us to cover up that light. Well, how do you cover up that light? It's by staying silent. When the opportunity arises to tell people about Christ, you just stay silent. That's covering up the light. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about themselves. I know that everybody doesn't feel like you can explain the gospel as well as somebody else. You know, I would remind you, we all don't have to be Charles Spurgeon. You can just tell folks what Christ has done for you. Be like that demoniac. The Lord told him, you go home and you tell your family and your friends what great things God's done for you. We can all do that. And even if you don't feel like you really have the opportunity to do that, you can invite them to come hear the gospel. Used to be we'd give them a tape. Now I reckon you give them a link, you text them a link to a message or something, you know. Give them a bulletin, do something. That's letting the light shine out in the world. A believer is also a well-lit city set up on a hill that people can see by the way we conduct ourselves. You know, just like a city up there on the hill, people down in the valley up there watching the city, aren't they? People are watching you. People are watching God's children. And a believer is the light of the world by standing out in contrast to this dark world, by living a life of integrity and honesty and morality, by just having common courtesy and decency. If you do that, You don't have to be a theologian. You'll stand out from this world. I promise you, you will. And what we hope is this, that people will take note, just like they did the disciples. These men are Jesus. That's what we hope. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. A believer is the light of the world out there on the job simply by having a good work ethic. We were talking, Danny and I were talking about young men, young children learning to work. I tell you, if you learn a good work ethic, you'll stand out from this world. Be someone that's easy to work with. Be somebody who always does a good job. But I tell you how you cover up that light. It's by doing a bad job. By being lazy, by finding every excuse that there is not to work, by always complaining about the man. Look how bad this boss is. He's keeping us down. He's not paying us enough. He's mistreating us. That's covering up the light. I knew a man one time who was very, very vocal about the gospel he believed. He believed the gospel. But his co-workers told me I would never go to church with him. He is such a bad employee. If that's what his religion produces, I don't have anything to do with it. They actually told me that. That's covering up the light. God forbid that we be that way. Believers are the light of the world around them by confessing Christ and following him, following his way. All right, number two. Believers are to be lights shining in our home. Verse 15, back in our text, Matthew 5. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now here the Lord's talking specifically about a candle lighting a house. We're not talking about the city up there on the hill. We're talking about a home being lit by a candle. We let the light shine in our home and dispel the darkness that's in our home. And if you don't think there's darkness in your home, now take account. If we've got children, there's darkness in our home. That's what we've given them in their heart, their natural heart. The way we dispel that darkness is by letting the light shine and teaching our children the scriptures so that our children know the meaning of those scriptures, so they know how Christ is revealed in those scriptures. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. In verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but he sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is in secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, light this candle. Light the light of Christ in your home and let the light of Christ shine in your home so everybody there understands the meaning of the scriptures. So we understand in our home, at least in the head, salvation is all in Christ. That Christ is all. Without anything we do being added to it. Let it be known in our homes, Christ is our only hope, beginning with me, the head of the home, and everybody else in it. Christ is our only hope. We let the light shine in our homes by conducting ourselves at home like we're a child of God. When we make our homes places where Christ is king. You know, every time a new couple gets married, this is always my prayer for them, that this will be a home, a new home formed where Christ is king. In this home, let Christ be talked about. Let this be a place that prayer is made. Let this be a place where there's love and kindness and forgiveness, where there's thoughtfulness about it for each other. Let this home be a place where we're not just selfish, but we think about others. If the Lord will enable us to do that, the light is shining in our home. But unfortunately, we can put our candle under a bushel. And I'll tell you how we do it. It's by going home and never talking about the Lord at home at all. It's by going home and never talking about the messages that we've heard. It's going home and never opening our Bible. Just waiting. We'll have it here and open it here in the church building. But at home, we don't open it. We don't read it. We don't talk about it. We go home and we never make our children tell us, what did you hear in Bible class today? What was your lesson? They say, I don't know. Well, make them tell you. Make them think about it and tell you. Because if we don't, you want me to tell you what happened? They got the message. They got the message. That what happens here is not all that important. They got the message. And what we do out there in the world is more important. We put our candle under a bushel by acting differently at home than we do out in public when other believers are around. I warn you, if you do that, your children will see it faster than anything. And it'll sour them on the gospel faster than anything. They'll get the message. They'll get it loud and clear. What you claim to believe at church is not real. They'll get the message. They understand this is just a show for public. They'll see it if you act different when you're in private. We put our candle under a bushel by acting all sweet and loving and kind, faithful at the worship service. But when we get home alone, we act mean and harsh and unloving to our wives and to our children. They'll get the message. They'll get the message. It's not real. And they can't see your so-called faith. They can't see your so-called light because your unloving, harsh actions are speaking too loud. That's how we put that light under a bushel. God help us to be lights shining in our homes where Christ is seen. And then thirdly, believers let our light shine in the world by our actions. Verse 16, Matthew 5, in our text. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if we would let our light shine in the world, our actions has got to match our words. Our words have to match our doctrine. They have to. Now, you've heard this statement, I know. Someone says, I'd rather see a message than hear one. Have you heard that? Well, I wouldn't. Not at all. I would a whole lot rather hear a message preached in the power of the Spirit, preached from God's Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I'd a whole lot rather hear a message. I'm afraid of what we'd see if somebody sees a message in a preacher or in a believer, aren't you? But we have to admit, unfortunately, this is true, that there are times we can't hear. We can't listen to what is really a good, sound, solid message because of the way the man conducts himself outside the pulpit. God forbid that we cover up the light that way. See, good works is what the Lord's talking about here. And good works make it a whole lot easier for people to hear our preaching. Now, what are good works? Well, they're works that are done in faith. Faith for Christ. They're works that are done for the glory of God. They're works that are done for the good of God's people. Our ladies this week fixed a meal for the family after a funeral. Those were good works. Those were done in faith and love for God and for His people. Good works are showing love for Christ. Showing love for God's people. God's put this love in our hearts. If you feel love for somebody, it acts. Now, it acts. You know, a young woman never, ever, ever has to wonder if a young man loves her or not. Never has to wonder. Young men, old men, all men are real good at showing it. We'll find a way. You don't have to be a poet like Shakespeare, but buddy, we find a way. If love is in your heart,
is going to leak out on you. Now it's going to be shown.
Good works are works that are done to help and to comfort God's people, especially when you got to go out of your way to do it. But now look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is so important that remember the goal of these works is not for us to get praise or recognition and for somebody to say, oh, look at all the good works they're doing. No, that's the way a Pharisee conducts himself, isn't it? The goal, the believer's goal of these good works is that God get the glory, not us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Well, what are these good works that the evildoers may behold? Well, here's how, verse 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, God sets you free. You're free from the law, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, workers, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. See, that's how we let this light shine in our good works. It's by conducting ourselves in a way that shows devotion to Christ. But we put that light under a bushel by acting contrary to these things. And this is especially true in our day. It's gotten to be real popular to talk about things that ought not be talked about in mixed company. Really in any company. But in mixed company, they're just things you don't talk about. We put that light under a bushel by talking about and laughing about just filthy things and posting them. I mean, it's bad enough we do it, you know, in the lunchroom, there are 10 or 12 people around, but posting those things, filthy things on Facebook or social media for thousands of people to see. That's putting your light under a bushel. And we might think, now, it doesn't make any difference. They're just words. Well, let me step back here a second. I'm not telling you to be a prude. Laugh at what's funny. I'm not telling you to be a prude. I'm not telling you, you know, to go around with a dour look and, you know, nothing's ever allowed to be funny. I'm not talking about that. But someone says, these are just words. It doesn't make any difference. Well, let me give you a story in closing. Lot. Lot and Abraham. Uncle and nephew together. And they had to part ways. Parted ways over the herds. The herdsmen were fighting. Money came between them. Riches came between them. And Abraham could have chosen wherever he wanted to go. He's the senior. He's the man now. But he said, Lot, you choose where you want to go. I'll take the rest. And Lot surveyed the place. He said, I'll take this well-watered plain. Abraham took the rocks and mountains where it seemed like not going to feed his sheep. And Lot went down there to Sodom. And there he lived. And he took his daughters, his wife, and his daughters down there. His daughters married men from that place. And those sons-in-law perished in Sodom because they wouldn't believe Lot. And Lot told them, God said he's going to destroy this place, and I believe him. They didn't believe Lot, and they perished in that place. And I tell you why they did. Because for years, Lot lived in that city and put the light under a bushel. The actions of the people in that place, Scripture tells us, grieved his Holy Spirit. But they didn't know it. He never told them. Lot didn't attempt to shine any light in that dark city. And he had opportunity. Lot was a leader of that place. He sat in the gate. He was a leader of that place. Never shined any light in it. And he put that light under a bushel at home, too, in front of his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law got the message. They saw how Lot conducted himself. They learned business and riches and pleasures in this life are the most important thing. They learned it from watching Lot. They never heard tell of this God that Abraham or that Lot believed. And when Lot told his sons-in-law, get out of this place, God's going to destroy it, and I believe God. Scripture says he seemed as one that mocked to them. Lot, what are you talking about? They couldn't take Lot seriously in this matter of God's wrath, and they perished because of it. Lot had to live with that the rest of his days. God help us not to put the light of Christ in the gospel under a bushel, but make it shine out everywhere for God's glory and for the good of his people. All right, hope the Lord will bless that to you.